ahead, Rick.
Thank you, Brian. Good morning, all. Why'd you guys come here today? Why? To get something? Get something out of here? Okay. And some of the young guys, probably because your parents told you to. Is that why you're here, is to get something? Is this a house of get something? What is this? It's a church. What do we call it, though? The house of the Lord. We hope he's here. But what do we do here?
Worship.
Worship. We're here to worship. Worship. That's my boy. He's worshiping. What does it mean to worship?
To serve God.
That's how we worship. But what does it mean to worship? Anybody ever think about that before? We're going to come worship. Pay reverence. What does reverence mean? Something we do every Sunday. We worship. We go to church. We worship. Anybody ever look it up in the dictionary? That's the word we know, isn't it? Until we try and define it. I looked it up in the dictionary. But I'd give you a hand. To worship is to adore. What does adore mean? No, it's not something you walk through to get in here. To love greatly. You know, I can think of many instances in my younger days seeing a girl. Oh, she's beautiful. Oh, man. If she was president, she'd be Abraham Lincoln. You know, and the girls are no different when they see a cute guy, are you? Oh, he's so cute. Look at those eyes to dream for. We think about it. I know we've all seen pictures on TV or whatever of the people in the stands at concerts. Especially back in the 50s when Elvis was big and the Beatles come to town. And all the girls are just screaming and fainting and they're chasing them down the street. And people camp out days for a week waiting for the tickets to go on sale. Stand in the rain all day long. That's the way we're supposed to be about God. We're supposed to love greatly. We come here to worship. That's why we're here. We're here to worship. To adore God. All the wonderful things that He's done. And if you don't get anything else out of this morning, remember that. That's why we're here. To worship. But God's pretty smart. He gives you something. Hopefully, by worshiping, you get fed a little bit. There's a man in 1 Samuel that describes a man after God's own heart. We're talking about David. And anybody that's read any of his Psalms know how much he adored God. He worshipped Him. So I'm going to read one of the Psalms as an example. 104th Psalm. says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty." You think he likes him? "Who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth, that it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it with the deep as with a garment, the waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled, at the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains, they go down by the valleys into the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field, the wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have the habitation which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers, the earth is satisfied with the fruit of his works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, the herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted, where the birds make their nest. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. He anointeth the moon for seasons, the sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness as it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey, and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth, they gather themselves together, and lay them down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches." That's the God we came to worship. He's given us everything. He's given us the earth to walk upon, the air to breathe, the trees, our lives. He's worthy of adoration. He's worthy of worship. And that's why we come here today, is to worship. When you're sitting there thinking, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for thy many blessings." We talked this morning about, in Sunday school, in Acts, in the second chapter, when the day of Pentecost was coming. It's talking about the fear of the Lord was upon the congregation. The awe, the reverence. Because besides all the things that He's created, all the things that He's given us, our homes, our jobs, our families, here was a group of people who had rebelled and rejected Jesus Christ and had crucified Him. And these group of people had received forgiveness. How great a blessing is that? We can't compare. That's who we came to worship. Was that God who can give that forgiveness, besides all the other things He gives us? You know, I've heard the expression that when we sin, we crucify Christ anew. So that can be us sitting there in that congregation on the day of Pentecost. We could have been the ones that crucified Christ. But we still have the opportunity for forgiveness. And we adore Him for that. We worship Him for that. We don't come here for us. We come here for God. God blesses us when we do. So how do we adore Him? How do we worship Him? First thing is we keep His commandments, like Amy said. In John 14th chapter, it says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." If we adore him, we keep his commandments. We know what they are. We've heard them several times in our lives, I'm sure. We know in our heart whether we do is right or wrong. If we love him, if we worship him, we keep his commandments. That means we do the things that we're told to do. We get baptized because Christ told us to do it. We love one another because Christ told us to do it. We follow all the things that Christ told us to do. But that also means we don't do what he told us not to do. Sometimes that can be hard because we fail. We fall down. But Christ knew that going in. He made a plan, said, "If you repent and seek forgiveness, I'll forgive you." There's a place in the Book of Mormon that just popped in my head about how when we praise God, he doth immediately bless us. He's given us the life we have, our daily life, the breath we breathe, the air. We can't thank him enough. Because as soon as we thank him, he blesses us again. We have to thank him for that. Another way we keep his commandments. Another way we adore him. Another way we love him is praise him. How do you praise God? If God gives us a blessing, he expects us to share it. By sharing our testimony with our loved ones, by sharing our testimony with even people we don't know, who may reject Christ. By praising God in our testimonies, thanking him for healings, for blessings at work, for blessings at school, for blessings for protection on the roads, whatever it is. That's how we praise God. That's how we worship God. And we can praise God we can worship God in our prayers. Public and private. Thank him for all the many blessings that he's given us. Thank him for being God, for forgiveness, for the opportunity of having eternal life. You know what? Sometimes it's easy to praise God for blessings. We've all done it, most of us. We've all received a blessing. We praise God. We may have shared a testimony. We say in our prayers, "Thank you, Lord, for thy many things. Thank you for this food we're about to partake of." But that's not the only time we praise God. Over in Job, in the first chapter, I'm going to start with the 13th verse. This is talking about Job. "And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, 'The oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword. I only am escaped alone to tell thee.' While he was yet speaking, there came another, and said, 'The fire of God is fallen from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee.' And while he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, 'The Chaldeans made out three bands, and fell upon the camels, and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee.' While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, 'Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in the elder's brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, and smote the four corners of the house, And it fell upon the young men, and they are all dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Is that something to praise God for? Can any of us imagine what that would be like? The people in Central America are going through something similar. They may have lost families and all their properties. And we're supposed to praise God? Continuing on, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. We said that worship means to adore. He adored God. And Job said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Yeah, we're going to have troubles. As sure as the sun comes up in the morning, we're going to have troubles. It's not all peanut butter, jelly, and sandwiches in the park. But we still praise God. Why? Because He is God. He's created everything. And we still have the opportunity for repentance and for eternal life. He still has given us His Son. His Son died for us. We have trials, and they're for a reason. Their trials are to make us humble, to say, "Lord, it's out of my hands. You know what's best, and I love you for it. Okay, I'm willing to take whatever you have." All the trials we face are only opportunities for blessings. If we never had a trial, if we never had afflictions, we'd never have blessings. Everything would be too easy. And then what would we worship? Christ. In the Book of Mormon, in Alma in the 16th chapter, this is a story about the Zoramites. And they were kind of an odd sort. They worshipped in a kind of a different way. I'll start with the 85th verse. This is on page 417. It says, "Now the Zoramites were descendants from the Nephites. Therefore they had the word of God preached to them, unto them. But they had fallen into great errors, for they would not observe to keep the commandments of God and His statutes according to the law of Moses. Neither would they observe the performances of the church, to continue in prayer and supplication to God daily, that they might not enter into temptation. Yea, in fine, they did pervert the ways of the Lord in very many instances. Therefore, for this cause, Alma and his brethren went into the land to preach unto them. Now when they had come into the land, behold, to their astonishment, they found that the Zoramites had built synagogues, and that they did gather themselves together on one day of the week, which day they did call the day of the Lord. And they did worship after a manner which Alma and his brethren had never beheld. For they had a place built up in the center of their synagogue, a place for standing, which was high above the head, and the top thereof would only admit one person. Therefore, whosoever desired to worship must go forth and stand upon the top thereof, and stretch forth his hands towards heaven, and cry with a loud voice, saying, Holy, holy God, we believe that thou art God, and we believe that thou art holy, that thou wast a spirit, and that thou art a spirit, and that thou wilt be a spirit forever. Holy God, we believe that thou hast separated us from our brethren, and we do not believe in the tradition of our brethren, which was handed down to them by the childishness of their fathers. For we believe that thou hast elected us to be thy holy children. And also thou hast made it known unto us that there shall be no Christ, but thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. And thou hast elected us that we shall be saved, whilst all around us are elected to be cast by thy wrath down to hell, for which holiness, O God, we thank thee. And we also thank thee for that that thou hast elected us, that we may not be led away after the foolish traditions of our brethren, which doth bind them down to a belief of Christ, which doth lead their hearts to wander far from thee, our God. And again we thank thee, O God, that we are a chosen and a holy people. Amen. And now it came to pass, after Alma and his brethren and his sons had heard these prayers, they were astonished beyond all measure. For behold, every man did go forth and offer up the same prayers. That would be a sight, wouldn't it? That's kind of strange, but you can see that there were glimpses of truth in it that had been perverted over the years. They were supposedly praising God, but they were just uttering a rehearsed prayer that they had memorized. As the story keeps going, Alma and Amulek kind of jump all over them, kind of tell them what's for. And some of the people were receptive and some of them weren't. I'm going to jump over to the 124th verse. Now as Alma was teaching and speaking unto the people under the hill Onida, there came a great multitude unto him, who were those of whom we have been speaking, who were poor in heart, because of their poverty as to the things of the world. And they came unto Alma, and the one who was the foremost among them said unto him, Behold, what shall these my brethren do? For they are despised of all men because of their poverty, yea, and more especially by our priests. For they have cast us out of our synagogues, which we have labored abundantly to build with our own hands. And they have cast us out because of our exceeding poverty, and we have no place to worship our God. And behold, what shall we do? And now when Alma heard this, he turned him about, and his face immediately towards him, and beheld with great joy, for he beheld that their afflictions had truly humbled them, that they were in a preparation to hear the word. Therefore he did say no more to the utter multitude, but he stretched forth his hand and cried unto those whom he beheld, who were truly penitent, and said unto them, I behold that ye are lowly in heart, and if so, blessed are ye. Behold, thy brother hath said, What shall we do? For we are cast out of our synagogues, that we cannot worship our God. Behold, I say unto you, do you suppose that ye cannot worship God, save it be in your synagogues only? And moreover, I would ask, do you suppose that ye must not worship God only once in a week? I say unto you, it is well that ye are cast out of your synagogues, that ye may be humble, that ye may learn wisdom, for it is necessary that ye should learn wisdom. For it is because that thou art that ye are cast out, that ye are despised of your brethren because of your exceeding poverty, that ye are brought to a lowliness of heart, for ye are necessarily brought to be humble. Here's a group of people that Alma's talking to him and saying, you're not supposed to worship God one day a week. You're not supposed to go to worship God only in one place. These people had the mistaken idea that they could only worship in their synagogue. We don't worship only in this building. We don't worship only on Sunday morning and Sunday evening. We're supposed to worship God in every place and everywhere, at all times. We're supposed to adore God. I think, sometimes we don't. The other things that we adore, a person, or some possession, we're natural people. We live by the five senses. And we look at that and that will make me happy. And so our body adores it. But we have the scriptures saying, God will make us happy. God will give us eternal life. He calls us above the natural man to the spiritual man. That's what we're supposed to be adoring, worshiping God for. Over in the 237th verse, this is Amulek talking after Alma got done. At the end of the verse, He commands them to worship God in whatsoever place ye be in spirit and in truth. I've heard it preached before how God made everything. There's nothing that we can give God to make Him happy that He can't make. And we can't worship Him with our hands. The only thing He doesn't have is our will. He gave that to us. And when we give our will back to Him, that's how we worship Him. In spirit and in truth. Each of us have to question our own heart. Do we worship Him in spirit and in truth? I hope we do. It's over in Malachi in the first chapter. There's kind of a story that can be is similar. I'm going to start with the 6th verse. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? These priests were offering sacrifices. They were supposed to offer the best that they had. Without spot, without blemish. But they were offering them less than the best. And he's saying, if you gave this to the governor of the land, would he be pleased? No. Well, what makes you think that God would be pleased? God expects our whole heart. And when we don't give it to Him, should we expect Him to be pleased? If we offer Him a heart that's polluted with the things of the world, that's not complete, that's harboring, Lord, I want to do this. Instead of, Lord, thy will be done. Completely. Are we giving Him an impure sacrifice? A sick, a lame heart? Instead of a complete and perfect heart? Down the 10th verse. Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. In the 12th verse. But ye have profaned it in that you say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. And you said also, behold, what a weariness is it. It's Sunday, I'm tired, I got a little, my back hurts. It's kind of a pain to get up and go to church. It's kind of a pain on Wednesday evening to get up and go to church. Are we giving a sick lamb to God? Are we giving a pure heart? And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts, and ye have brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. And thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this at your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. This is the side of God that we don't always think about. He's jealous. He's given us everything. Everything we have, everything we are, He's given us. And he expects something in return. And if he doesn't get it, then it's bad news for us. But if he does get it, what a wonderful blessing it is for us. If we sacrifice our will, if we truly worship. If you don't get anything else out of today, remember that what we're doing here is to worship. We come here today to adore God, to thank Him for His wonderful blessings. Thank Him for the opportunity we have for eternal life. Thank Him for His Son. We have to think when we enter this room to worship Christ. We need to prepare before we get here our hearts. If we bring in, problems we have at work, or if we're contemplating school or what we're going to do after church, what we're going to do later, is our sacrifice not pure? Are we given a subpar sacrifice to God? Thank you for your time. I encourage you to question your heart. I think a lot of us, most of us do. We worship with a pure heart. But we need to remember, we have to show God that. We have to praise Him. We have to adore Him. Thank you for your time.
She's number 220, 220 for the closing song. Shall we stand? Father, we come to the close of this service, and we're truly thankful, Lord, for the opportunity that we had to come and to hear the word spoken to us this day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come and to worship you this day. And we pray, Lord, that we'll always look for the opportunities in life to communicate with you, to speak with you, to lift up our voice in song and prayer unto you, and to worship you in every aspect of our life, and to praise your name always publicly and privately. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, we will do it each and every day of the week, and that we'll not wait for just the the service days to fall upon us, that we'll come and to worship you. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you look down upon those who stand in need of our prayers, that you will bless them, that you will strengthen them, uplift them, heal them of their sicknesses or their injuries, dear Heavenly Father, and be with those who have spiritual problems, that you will comfort them, that you will touch their heart, soften it, that they might join together once again with the body of Christ. Lord, as we come to the close of the service and we continue on this day, we pray, Lord, that you will continue with us, that our conversation and our actions will be pleasing unto you. The other services that we will have this day, Lord, we invite your Spirit to rest upon them. So, Lord, we do thank you for all the opportunities and all the blessings you've poured out upon us. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.